The following sermon was recorded at Compass Bible Church in Naples, Florida. For more information on Compass Bible Church, visit our website at compassnaples.org.
Happy Mother's Day. You don't get tired of saying that, do you? No. You don't get tired of hearing it, I'm sure. Well, please open your Bibles to Proverbs 31. You know, this spring we've been considering how important it is to set our life compass in the right direction, right? And that direction our compass needs to set is on God. It's on Jesus, the one who gives life. But as we've talked about, once our compass is set and we've turned our feet, the challenge is staying on course because we live in a dangerous world, right? And there are forces and influences that want to push you off course. And our topic today, it's not the only influence in this process, but it's perhaps one of the most significant factors for all of us that has had an impact on our decisions, on the direction of our lives. It's the issue of parenting. I mean, our family of origin, the home you grew up in, the adults that influenced your life the most, for better or for worse. Parents play a huge role, all right? And the Bible absolutely affirms this. We see it right at the beginning of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 8. We'll put it on the screen. The purpose for the Proverbs: hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. These are words from a father, from a parent, a mother and a father, to children to help them stay on course. Parenting matters. And today, especially on Mother's Day, the message for mothers is this. Mothers, your voice matters. Your influence matters. It's huge. In fact, if you look at the influence of mothers in the Bible, it's actually a fascinating study, especially when you look at the history of Israel's leaders and their kings. So, you know how many good kings Israel had? I mean, you could probably count them on a hand, all right? You know how many bad kings they had? A lot. And the Bible actually identifies the mothers of most of these kings. You know, king so-and-so, son of, and they'll list the mother's name. And the good kings had mothers who feared the Lord. And in every case, the bad kings had mothers who did not fear the Lord. Now, I'm not holding moms responsible, okay? But mothers have a huge influence, for better or for worse, not just on their families, but on nations and on history. And I've got a picture here. Do you know who's in this picture? Yeah, that's my dad. Who's the other person? That's Barbara Bush, right? Well, she's with the Lord now. And he was just with my mom in Kennebunkport. They were walking the beach, and who's right there on the beach? Barbara Bush. And got a picture with her, and she actually was kind enough to send her the picture, and she autographed it there and wrote that nice note to him. But can you imagine, Barbara Bush, how it must have felt to be the wife of a president, then the mother of a president, and the mother of the governor of Florida? I mean, can you imagine? That's amazing. I mean, the influence of that woman, not only in those lives, but in the lives of our nation, our state, so many other people that were influenced by this and through this woman and her influence. Last week, we looked at who you listen to matters. And throughout the book of Proverbs, we see two voices calling to get our attention. There is the woman named Folly and the woman named Wisdom. There are two voices that are calling out to us even today. So which one are you listening to? You listening to folly? You listening to wisdom? Don't be fooled by what sounds right. It really matters. And our text today is Proverbs 31. It's the climax of this incredible book of wisdom. It's the voice, actually, of a specific woman. All right. It's the mother of this guy named King Lemuel. And he wrote down what his mom told him and a poem about a mother and a wife who fears the Lord. Now, for many women, okay, this passage has haunted and terrified them. They see it as an impossible standard. And listen, we don't want to discourage anyone today, especially moms who they've got a difficult assignment in a fallen world where sin makes everything harder. And what we want to do is affirm the critical role that moms play in our lives, in our families, in our culture. The Bible sets the bar really high, not to discourage us, but to inspire us, okay? Whatever difficult circumstances, difficulties you may be facing, or that you have faced as a mom, as a potential mom, God knows your situation. He loves you. Your voice matters. And whatever's happened, there is hope. Okay, so here's our big idea today. Ready? A mother's influence can absolutely change the world. Mother's influence, it has, and it can, and it will absolutely change the world. All right, men, kids, pay attention. This is not just for moms. You have an important part to play in this. And as you think about everybody, your influence, your impact on the world around you, it is going to be significantly impacted by the influence of the women in your life, mother, wife, daughters. So it's for all of us. Let me pray for our hearts to be ready. Lord, thank you for your word. Thanks for this passage in Proverbs 31. Open our ears to hear it in a new way, to see your voice speaking out to us. We want to listen to wisdom. So, Lord, tune our hearts to hear what you're saying to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so as we turn to Proverbs 31, our focus is on mothers, but our text really reveals 10 traits that can change the world. And these are traits that can be true of all of us, all right? They're specifically true about the woman in Proverbs 31, but these are traits that will benefit all of us and impact the road we're on and the road that those we influence on for life or for death, all right? So, but we're going to look at it as 10 traits of a woman who fears the Lord. And the first one is, she gets our attention. Very important. Let's read verses 1 and 2. The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? I love that verse. I can't get the picture of a Jewish mother from New York out of my mind. Hey, what are you doing? You know, moms are amazing. They're not afraid of anybody. Even when one of their children becomes king, I don't care what title they give you. I'm your mother, and you need someone to call you out. What are you doing? We need people in our lives, don't we? You know, people who will have the courage to get our attention. So a woman who fears the Lord, they get our attention because she's not controlled by the fear of man. They fear the Lord. I fear the Lord. What are you doing? You know, fear of man the desire for the approval of men, that's what keeps us from speaking out when something needs to be said. So moms, thank you. This is an important part of what it means to be a mom. And we need it, right? We appreciate it. We appreciate that you get our attention. Frankly, we apologize that you have to raise your voice sometimes to get our attention. But thank you. We all need people in our lives who will ask us, what are you doing? Now, if you don't have people like that in your life, you're in big trouble, you know, because we don't see what we don't see. And we need others to help us. And that's part of trait number two. A mother who fears the Lord, she tells it like it is. Let's look at verses 3-9. My son, do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to the one who is perishing and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. So moms see stuff that no one else can see, really, right? I mean, have you ever experienced this? And I've said this before, it's like moms have mom goggles. You know, they see the world through mom goggles, and they see things that we don't see. The rest of us are either just oblivious. We might sense something isn't right, but moms, they just nail it on the head. Here's your problem. And King Lemuel's mom goes right for the jugular. Two major temptations for men of power: women and drinking. Okay, she's not criticizing women here as much as she's criticizing the king for giving away his strength to women he shouldn't be giving it to. That's what will destroy him. In fact, we know that's what destroyed Solomon, who wrote most of these Proverbs. The law of Moses stated very clearly that the king was to have only one wife, and the king was to be faithful to her. And yet, how many wives did Solomon have? 300 wives. And then he had concubines, which are kind of like wives. How many of those did he have? 700. So that's 1,000 women who looked to Solomon for strength. Yeah, right, Jeremy. That's not going to happen. With all of that wisdom, how did that happen to him? How could he have thought that was a good idea? All right, several options. Maybe his mother didn't have the courage of King Lemuel's mother. My son, what are you doing? Maybe she didn't fear the Lord enough to confront her son and ask him that. Or maybe he didn't listen. He didn't listen to the right voices in his life. And Solomon, who had such a great start, God gave him wisdom. He was an amazing king. He lost his way. Solomon absolutely lost his way. You know, we think of him as a great king. He was in so many ways, but he ended his life absolutely poorly. He did not end well, and it was terrible for the nation of Israel the way he ended. So he got off course. We just don't see what we don't see. We don't. And this is why we need people in our lives who will tell it like it is, who will get our attention, say things that we may not want to hear, but they do it. because they fear the Lord more than they fear men. So here's my advice. Listen to them. If it's your mom, if it's your wife, if it's a friend, okay, don't make it hard for people to correct you or point out things that you need to change. Invite correction. It's a major sign of wisdom. So I'm just going to open my journal. And for those of you who are doing this, Proverbs 9 spoke exactly to this point. This was on Thursday, May 9th, all right? And I just want to read you from my Bible reading journal here. Verses 8 and 9 says this, of Proverbs 9. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he'll hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he'll love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. And then I just wrote down, the ability to receive instruction, to receive reproof, correction, training, rebuking, these are all a primary indicator of whether someone is a fool or wise. You know, so your ability to receive correction is a major indicator of are you a fool or are you a wise person? Fools spurn correction. They make you pay if you try to correct them. They'll hate you. They'll abuse you and injure you. But a wise person is glad to be corrected. They will love you because they know you're helping them. And by listening and receiving reproof, the wise grow wiser. They increase in learning. So here's my application. I must invite people to help me grow, to correct me and reprove me when they see deficiencies in my life. And then I pray, Lord, give me faithful and wise friends who will tell me the truth and give me humility to hear it and to receive it. And on this day, you know, men, listen to the women in your life, all right? God uses them to get your attention, to tell you like it is. Do you fear the Lord? Do you fear the Lord? Okay. Who is it in your life then that needs you to tell it like it is, to get their attention? Who is it that you need to play this role in their life, to approach them in love, tough love? But who is it in your life that needs you to come to them and say, what are you doing? Doesn't matter how important, how successful, how powerful they are. They don't see what they don't see. And if you love them, then be like a mom, okay? A mom who fears the Lord. Get their attention and tell it like it is. But we also need to be careful, okay, when we go around exhorting, reproving, and rebuking people, because you actually earn the right to do this in people's lives. And so we need to examine our own lives. Make sure that we are on the right road ourselves. Get the logs out of our eyes, you know, before we try to pull the splinter out of other people's eyes. It doesn't mean you have to be perfect, but it sure helps if they trust you, if they know you, and if you do it in love, right? So these next seven traits really set the stage to give us the permission to practice one and two, to be able to lovingly reprove and correct people. These next seven traits give us that permission to do that. So the third trait of a woman who fears the Lord, she is trusted by her husband. Let's read verses 10 to 12. An excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. So you don't see it in your English Bible, but verses 10 to 31 are actually a poem in Hebrew. And each verse in Hebrew begins with a successive letter from the Hebrew alphabet. Aleph, Beth, I forgot what they all are. So it's like one of those poems you see where they take like the letter of each name, you know, in their name, you know, like Kevin, you're kind and you're intentional, you know, and you just list it out like that. This woman in Proverbs 31 is everything from A to Z. It's kind of the point of the poem. And it's not saying who can find her, like good luck finding her. It's saying an excellent wife, a woman who fears the Lord, is an awesome find. All right, men, how many of you found this woman? Yeah, there we go. Good. You struck gold, all right? Better than gold. What does it say? She is more precious than jewels. Other translations for excellent wife say noble wife, strong, able, valiant, capable. You know, the person who finds this woman is in the married up club. Anybody part of that? I am in the married up club, absolutely in it. And when a wife and mother fears the Lord, here's what it does. It causes her husband to trust in her. His heart trusts in her, and it's deep. He knows that she isn't looking first and foremost to him for strength. He knows that would be a bad idea because he's human. The woman who fears the Lord is finding her strength in God. And her strength is not because she's perfect. None of us are perfect. It's because her life isn't centered on her husband. It's not centered on her kids, on her performance. Her life is centered on the Lord. So when mom gets her mom goggles on, and she gets our attention, and she tells it like it is, we listen. We take it to heart. We know she has what's good for us in mind. Mom has the right to do that. She has our trust to speak truth into our lives. And it's not just for moms, but for all of us. If you fear the Lord, you'll have this right to and this responsibility in the lives of others. Trust is a very precious thing. And trait number four, she is a hard worker. Look at verses 13 to 19. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. So Proverbs has a lot to say about hard work and its value. But I don't know if anyone exemplifies hard work better than a mother who fears the Lord. I mean, they are absolutely amazing. They clothe their family. They feed their family. They keep the family schedules. Late nights, early mornings, I don't know how moms do it all. I don't. And it's not the kind of work that often gets a lot of recognition. It's work that blesses others, it builds trust, it honors God. Can we thank mom for her hard work? Thank you, mom. Fifth trait, she is compassionate. Look at verse 20. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. All right, so these are mom goggles again. Most of us are just so consumed with our stuff, we don't see the needs of others around us. But notice, the mother here, she's not poor. We can see from the text she's engaged in business. She's buying real estate. She's selling merchandise. She has fine clothing. I think she's a woman of means. But she's not consumed by her things. Did you catch that? She's a woman of means, but she's not consumed by her things. She takes the initiative. She opens her hand. She reaches out to those who are in need. So when we fear the Lord, we know that we're just stewards. We brought nothing into the world. We're not going to take anything out of it. Everything we have is from God. He can take it away. He's given it to us for us to be good stewards of it. And part of being a good steward is being compassionate. And maybe you're like me. You know, I can just be so driven at times that I don't see the need around me. And I need my wife. I need my wife and her mom goggles and her courage to get my attention, to tell it like it is. She helps me in this way to be a better steward, to have compassion. And I'm so grateful to have someone like that in my life. The world is a better place because of it, because of moms. All right, sixth trait. She is ready for tough times, verses 21 to 22. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. So life has its ups and downs. It's good times, it's bad times. A woman who fears the Lord knows this. She's ready for either one. She takes care of others. Look how she takes care of her household. They're clothed in scarlet. But she also takes care of herself. And I think we've all seen this with moms. Sometimes moms are so focused on meeting others' needs that their own needs are neglected. Yeah. But moms, you need to hear this. It's okay. It's okay for you to do something special for yourself. It's okay. Look at verse 22. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. That's the good stuff back in the day. She's ready for hard times, but she can enjoy the good times as well. So mom, it's okay to do something for yourself and enjoy that. Seventh trait, she is a blessing to her husband. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. So her husband is a leader in the community, in the church. He's known and respected. But look who he's married to. I mean, she's the rock star, but her success does not compete with his. A capable woman who fears the Lord is the greatest blessing to any man. And if a man doesn't see this, he's not going to last very long in any place of influence. Ask George Bush. Ask Jeb Bush, ask if you could have asked their father, they would have told you, listen to your mom, listen to your wife. In fact, I doubt if there have been any men who have had a lasting influence for good on the world who did not have a woman of strength and character beside him. We all know that in a godly marriage, we sharpen one another, we strengthen one another, we influence one another. So husbands, you know, the Bible talks about that you're the head of the household, right? So you may be the head, but what's your wife? The neck? What does the neck do? It turns that head. You know, we're all connected and we influence one another. So receive that influence gladly, men. Now, for those who are not married or you are not in a godly marriage, I know this is perhaps one of the greatest struggles, one of the greatest losses that you feel in life. The Bible says it's not good for a man or woman to be alone. We know that. Marriage is a crucible, okay, that will grind us to powder, but it's in order to make us into something spectacular if both spouses fear the Lord, all right? And when that's not happening, it breaks down, it's hard, it's not as it's supposed to be, but here's what you need to do. If that's not the case, you still must fear the Lord. You need to trust Him to use your faithfulness in your own life and in others. And God's word is true. He says He is faithful. He will complete the good work that He began in you. He will bring it to completion. All right, eighth trait. She is filled with godly wisdom. You know, women who fear the Lord, this excellent wife, she does so much. Look at verse 24. She works hard with her hands. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Verse 25, she's adorned with character. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And she laughs at the time to come. Verse 26, she is appropriate in her speech. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well. Let me just stop there. You know, women who fear the Lord, they also know having one of these, this tongue, is a huge responsibility. And she knows she has to be careful. She may not get it right all the time. None of us do. But wisdom and kindness is the right approach. Be very careful with our tongues. And then verse 27, she is attentive to her home. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. I'm sure you could add a lot more things to this list. No mom is perfect. I'm sure that this mom in Proverbs 31 was not perfect. But a mother who fears the Lord deserves to be recognized. All right, so these last two traits are very important. But the last two traits are actually fruit. They're the result of these other traits. And the rest of us actually play a very important part in the fruit or the results. So we'll still call it a trait. But trait number 9 is she is admired by her family. Verses 28 and 29. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Okay, so right now I know some women might be feeling a little defeated. Maybe, you know, your standards haven't been as high as Proverbs 31. Maybe you haven't gotten through to your husband at this level. Maybe you're just not feeling strong. And as I said earlier, this passage is not meant to discourage us. It's meant to inspire us. There's always hope. That hope is found in the fear of the Lord, not in meeting some kind of standard of performance. All right, God sees you as precious. He values you deeply. You are deeply loved by God. This is where you're going to find strength to keep going, even in difficult circumstances. And men, right now, there might be some men who are feeling this. I haven't trusted, I haven't listened to, I haven't valued, I haven't affirmed my wife as she deserves. Proverbs has a lot to say to men, especially husbands and fathers. Just even think about the meaning of the word husband. It actually has a deeper meaning of cultivating, tilling, of nurturing for growth, husbandry, okay? If you're a husband, here's a big part of our job. You ready? It's to cultivate. It's to nurture our wives. Your lifetime impact on your wife should be this. Guys, you didn't think you were getting away with the Mother's Day sermon, right? All right, this is for us. Your lifetime impact on your wife should be this. That because of your cultivation, your being a husband, that your wife is becoming more and more of all that God created her to be. How does a husband do that? Well, in part right here, by praising her. Her children, too. They rise up and call her blessed. They speak respectfully to her. They tell her why she is so special, why they admire her. Now, where do kids learn that? Where do kids learn how to do that from mom? They learn it from dad. They learn it from dad who praises her. Okay, so I know for many homes I've just opened a deep wound, right? I know this blessing mom and praising our wives doesn't happen as much as it should. And over time, the pain and the wounds and the guilt and the shame run deep, and it makes it hard to change course. We're stubborn. If you're feeling any of that, I just want you to know you're not alone, right? You're not alone. I have not done this as well as I should. But let's decide today. Starting right now, we're going to try to love better. To let Christ live in us and through us to love one another better. Amen? Okay. So praise is a key word in these final verses of Proverbs. Three times it says, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. A husband cultivates his wife by setting an example of praise in the home, which means no put-downs, no fault-finding, no insults, and especially not this, no neutral silence. All right, so can you tell me where in the Bible you've heard this? If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Is that in the Bible? It should be. It's not in the Bible, and here's why. Silence is not an option. God wants to fill our homes and our churches with this beautiful wisdom where men are not passive, but overtly, intentionally cultivating the excellence of their wives and where those women are thriving. So if you can't say something nice, you need to say something nice. You know, what does your wife excel at? Well, tell her. Tell her in front of the kids. Tell her in front of others. All right? And men, this is not just a pep talk, okay? This is part of the gospel. That by believing in Jesus as the Son of God, that we actually have life in his name. And that life that we have received from Jesus would flow out of us to others. And in this most important place, cultivating those around you, your wife, cheering her on, helping her to become magnificent. Men, that's part of your job, okay? And we need to lean into this as much as anything else we're doing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We saw that in chapter 1. So fearing the Lord is seeing God for who he truly is. And if we're struggling with these good words, if we're struggling with praising our wife, if we're struggling with cultivating, they're not the problem. We are. This is our job. And the reason we're struggling is most likely a spiritual one. we don't fear God as much as we should. Because seeing God for who he is should change the way we treat others, especially our wives. So, men, kids, let's repent of our silence, the sin of withheld love. I repent. God, help me to speak up. He puts you with your wife because he loves her, and he puts you with her to be a blessing to her. So let's start doing it. Let's start doing it. Doing it better. All right, finally, trait number 10. She is honored by the Lord. She is honored by the Lord. Verses 30 to 31. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. All right, charm and beauty are not bad. They're simply not what makes a great woman. The fear of the Lord, seeing God and worshiping God for who he truly is, it changes your life. It brings wisdom, it brings knowledge. God will do all the things in your life that we talked about last week from Proverbs chapter 2. He will do this. He will. If we lean in, if we fear the Lord, if we listen, if we ask, if we seek him, he promises us wisdom will come into our hearts. It will guard and protect us. You will walk on the right road. Okay, God honors that. And a woman who fears the Lord will be honored. He honors faithfulness. He honors moms who fear the Lord. And so do we. So do we. So mom, today we want to honor you. We want to love you. We want to appreciate you. We want to say thank you. It's a tough job that you have to do. And you don't get thanked enough. And so today we want to say thank you. Let me pray. Lord, thanks for this word. You know the pain that some of us feel right now because our lives have been a dim reflection of this, and we long for them to be different. So, Father, we surrender that to you. We know that you love us as we are through Jesus Christ. Your abundant grace and your love has given us all that we need. And so, Lord, we don't want to look at our performance. We want to look at what you have done to rescue us, to save us, to make us your child. We are not who we say we are. We are not who other people say we are. We are who you say we are, Lord. And you say we are loved, that we are precious, that we are your child. So, Lord, in that truth and in that strength, we want to walk out of here with hope, with encouragement, and with a new resolve, Lord, to listen to the people in our lives who love us so much that they're willing to get our attention and tell us the truth, who've earned our trust. So, Lord, thank you for those people in our lives, especially our moms and our wives who do that for us. Lord, bless them. Bless this day for them. Give them strength and courage for the amazing work that you've given their hands to do. And so, Lord, we thank you again and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.